what we've always believed, if you're still refusing, means you're on the good side. Means people want us. Because if you refuse someone once, or even 10 people, you know, and if they know we are not doing it out of ego, we're doing it because you're genuinely booked out, they will give us a second chance. But if I take an order, if I mess it up, they will never come back.
Hey, I'm Chirag Desai, and you're listening to Tales of the Trade from Amaya Media. And today's episode is all about cake. The business of cake. Now, in 2008, Dubai was going through one of those baking phases. Everybody on my Twitter feed seemed to be a home baker. We used to have these events called Bake Fests. And as a disclaimer, I may have participated in one of those as well. And when Sneha and Ravisha Bhatia, two sisters working in finance at the time, decided to run a bake sale to fund a charitable project, the orders just didn't stop coming. Soon after, they set up Sugarholic out of their home and then moved on to a formal store in 2010, a transition very few home bakers actually make. Today, Sugarholic is over a decade old, and they've expanded to take over a couple of stores behind that first location and are now all set to open their second storefront to cater to what we call the new Dubai side of the city. But for a business like theirs, known for designer cakes and celebrations and events, as the first few cases of coronavirus started appearing in the UAE in February 2020, it brought with it precautionary event cancellations. Here's Ravisha.
A lot of credit notes were issued. Like in history of Sugarholic, I probably issued almost 100 credit notes, whether it's from the smallest of cakes to something. So,
and that was what, over like a 1-2 week period? Kind of?
3 weeks. I was like, okay, this was expected. I'm like, the reason I was still okay, I'm like, still we got that chunk of money because I was giving credit notes. So I knew the clients would come back. I haven't lost the clients. But there was a period of 1 week where business was chill. But then we started realizing after a week, people started messaging us. We want to send a gift. We want to send a gift. We want to send a gift. We can't attend this one. This one's got a baby. This one's just got engaged, but they can't get... People started sending sorry cakes like, oh, so sorry, your wedding got canceled. Or so sorry that we can't attend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, there was a switch. So Sneha, Vishal and myself came. I'm like, look, people are struggling because a lot of people don't have jobs. They're scared. So let's take out an offer because people are not ordering big cakes. Yeah. It was all mini values. And I'm like, no one wants to spend 200 dirhams on a cake at the moment. I'm like, no worries. Even if you get 3 cakes of 60 dirhams, you know, it still reaches. I was like, even if it's a regular cake, we did delivery free. We offered balloons and we did greeting cards for them. So that way the idea was we'll at least cover our costs.
On March 20th, Dubai instituted a sterilization program that involved a night curfew. And with more and more companies moving their teams to working from home, the attention shifted to deliveries.
Our Zomato shot up. Like Zomato's deliveries were like 50, 60 a day.
How does that compare to what it was before?
So before we would get Zomato 20 orders, 15 orders.
Almost double.
Almost double. And a lot of online platforms came up who were like, they got in, they're like, listen, oh, we send flowers, we send cakes, we send gifts. So we want to sell your cakes. So we were like, okay. So our kitchen saw a whole new production shift from regular walk-ins and phone calls to B2B business. And that actually kept us on our toes. And we couldn't leave the shop because we had to maintain the quality. We had to make sure suppliers stopped getting supplies. Like we stopped getting supplies because there were no shipments.
Right.
So we used to tell our... customers, this product is not available. Go for this cake. So in fact, we couldn't take a back seat because our service increased and everything was last minute. Like everything, we had to do everything within a span of 12 hours to a minimum of 1 hour notice. All our staff was busy because we were focusing on smaller cakes. And since day one, actually, Sugarholic has always had the smallest of cakes we sell other than supermarkets.
Yeah.
So our half kg cakes, monthly number of forms are around 800 to 850. Since Corona has started, we've reached a number of like 1,100.
Right. So you've seen a bump because of it. Yeah.
It's been reverse. However, it was quite worrisome because my staff in the front used to just stand for walk-ins. So sometimes they're just like, okay, there's no one coming. So someone like me, like I said, I always have a positive attitude. I'm like, yeah, that's good, right? Let people not come. And anyways, if lesser people come, that's good because we can leave by 7:30 so you guys can reach home by 8 because otherwise they would get fined. So we took everything quite positively and we... changed our behavior, changed our attitude. Like if anyone would come to us, say, I have to cancel the cake. We were not upset. We were like, no, we understand. no worries. This is the amount of work we've done. If you want to completely cancel, I'll just charge you for the amount of work we've done. If you're okay with a credit note, I'll give you a credit note. You can use it. So people are also very flexible. So I think it was not, I know people around, like I know in my lane itself, so many places have shut because they are only placed on walk-ins. We were more delivery based, more orders, like people didn't have to walk in. So that's why that worked in our favor.
Now, as we've been hearing through the season, a business's ability to adapt to the unprecedented situation we're in has a lot to do with its health before the crisis. And one of the reasons why Sugarholic was already prepared for a situation like this came from some learnings a few years ago when they were confronted with a situation that directly impacted their business continuity.
My sister was a major part of the, she still is, but she got pregnant and they immediately decided to move to Canada, and all the WhatsApp chats, like all WhatsApp and social media was handled by her. And that is something that is not, I'm not good at it. So when she left, it was a big, big chunk of work coming onto me and obviously Vishal. So like, that's when I decided, or even before, I'm like, come what may, if even I have to leave, or like how Sneha has left, I felt this. I don't want anyone to feel this because it's too much pressure. That's when I started, like, first it was Sneha single-handedly 3 years back handling WhatsApp. Now I have 4 people for WhatsApp. I'm like, let it, obviously she's the owner. She'll probably close a deal 5 times faster than a staff. But I'm like, I'm okay to hire 2 people for my sanity. So once we changed that approach, and I was like, if we can do something, we are even hiring people, which is a good thing. Plus, if they can help us expand and grow, because they take a chunk of our work where we can put in our time and effort in something. I made a lot of processes online, you know, where we physically didn't have to be there. That's why we hired more staff, we trained them, and they were then handling all the business. And we were just involved in premium products, like premium projects. Even right now, if I walk out of this room, only my clients will be affected, like walk out of the business. But the major chunk, like the 75%, will still be fine. So a couple of my staff did work extra hours, and we did hire staff because one of my staff was stuck. It's still actually stuck in India. He's not being able to come back. So I hired 2 more staff, and luckily this is an employer's market. So my only production I increased was staff. Like I didn't increase my machinery. I didn't increase anything else because the baking aspect, like the angle was the same. Like I said, the number of kilos, just that the work involved in icing a 3 kg cake split into 6 cakes.
If you're on paper anyway, that when you take what was originally, as you said, a 3 kg cake, which is now 6 half kg cakes.
Half kgs.
You're actually hitting the same targets, which is great, and that's wonderful. Correct. Compared to most people. But when you then you break it down, you realize, wait a minute, we're actually not making the same money anymore.
Exactly. So our costs, our revenue is the same, but our costs are higher than before Corona. You know, I feel in a business, you should be prepared for everything. So even as partners, we have very minimal profits we take, you know, and we have a fixed salary,
right,
which is even lower than some of my staff. So even I know costs are high, income is less, but right now it was just about survival. I'll be very honest. Our main thing was we could pay the rent, or we had to pay the diva bill, the electricity, water, and staff salary. These are the 3 things. We were, Vishal, me, and Sneha were even okay if we did not get a salary or profits for 4 to 5 months. We were fine. Our main agenda was staff should get the salary on time, before time. So even, because even they are stressed, a lot of their family members did lose jobs.
Of course, yeah.
So it's basically the mentality. If I start seeing, oh my God, it's going down. Oh, I'm not doing well. It's stressful for me because I'm being very personal here. And I was just thinking about myself. But even Vishal said, even if we had to shut down, we guaranteed the staff they will get their full salary. Because over the years, touchwood, we have been saving quite a lot. For us, business doesn't mean, that's why in 10 years, we've never opened another store. We've only expanded production. We've never expanded into retail stores or into too much marketing. We don't do. We believe, let's save that for a rainy day. So I think that's what kept everyone going, because no one was stressed out that whether my job is there today, whether my job is not there. And we worked extra hard. Like, my sister from there was very active on Instagram. She tied up with a lot of bloggers. We sent a lot of free cakes just to get that exposure. So more exposure, more business, you know, more revenue. The costs were being covered and the salaries were being paid.
This is something that I'm finding interesting, that a lot of people did this where they were just very actively communicating with their teams.
Yeah, come on, Chirag, let's be honest. We are business owners, but we are nothing without our staff. It's because of them we are here. Like right now, I'm doing this podcast with you, but they are the ones working.
Right.
You know, yeah. I'm at the marketing front. I speak to customers, but they are the ones who carry out. Like, I used to be a cake designer. I know how difficult it is to stand for 10 hours, do your thing. You know, it's very taxing. Like, your body hurts, your back hurts. So when this thing hit also, we just discussed, even my mother, she came and told me, she's like, look, I don't know what's happening. I'm not going to interfere, but you guys have to just make sure no one is fired and the salaries are paid. She's like, I don't know how you do that. I was like, yeah, mom, don't worry. Luckily, we have a product. See, we were not a restaurant. See, that's the difference. I don't know, it was by luck I entered this industry or whatever. It's a very emotional product, you know. Everyone wants a cake. Like, celebration equals cake. People were celebrating in every form because they didn't know what else to do. Anything that would make their spouses, their children, their mothers, their fathers, their aunts happy, we fall into that category, you know. Like, online sales went up, you know, people are sitting and just shopping at home. I think people are even sitting and just like, okay, let's send cake to this person. Let's send cake to that person. Let's send cake to... So there were some clients of mine who already order quite a lot. Their ordering went up by 20-30%.
Interesting. You know? Okay. Yeah.
There was a female who gave birth and she sent across 100 cakes. So even though they were mini cakes, but just because they were like, we can't celebrate on a party. Okay, they can't do anything in a hotel. They can't invite people home. There's no catering allowed. So where can we put in this money? You know, let's send cakes with gifts. So it actually somehow even turned. So I told my staff, look, this is a whole new trend and I am going to work towards it. We are going to market it. So don't worry, we are going to try our level best to get any sort of business. And whatever the trend is going on, we will create that, we will advertise it, and we'll get the business. If Vishal and I would have taken a backseat, oh, it's COVID. No, we are not going. Like, I know a lot of business owners, the staff was working, but they never went to the shop. And I actually told them, I'm like, is that fair? They are taking the risk. So there was, I don't think there's been a day that we both haven't gone. Like, it's either me or him.
Even if you were to attribute some of a business's success to fortuitous circumstances, these can only take you so far. Because after that, all the other elements matter. Having a product market fit, a healthy balance sheet, a strong team, good operations, and so on. And there's something to be said about how we talk about startup successes today, where communications around and about startups are almost entirely about things like funding and growth, and almost never about profits.
Everyone's working at the edge, and I feel which is wrong in Dubai. Businesses should be prepared. Like if a volcano hit, like, there's no volcano here, but if like a tornado hits or a cyclone comes or whatever, you should be prepared, like, okay, for the worst. But a lot of people have realized don't do that. They really live and handle a business at the edge. So there was a business that these event companies I deal with, and it's simple for them. Like, their clients, oh, they pay us after a few months once the clients pay. So there was a payment. It was a big amount. Yeah. It was not small. I was like, listen, it's not paid for 3 to 4 months. Usually a credit note a credit facility of 1 month is given. Can you please pay? And if not, pay from your personal. You'll anyways get it from the client. I'm sure you have revenue lying around. She's like, no, I don't. So if I give out this much chunk to you, my staff salaries will go on hold. And the amount was not that much that
A salary would have been on hold.
So I was so shocked. I'm like, but you have a business. If tomorrow something hits you, how are you going to cover your costs? She's like, no, then I'll probably have to shut down. Like, you must be having some savings. It's not about me getting the money, but it's just you're right now comfortable doing this with me because I'm still of a friend to you. And, you know we are flexible. What if I was also in a very tight position and needed the money? I can literally go to the cops and put in a complaint. But she's like, no, I don't have money to pay till the client pays me. And I can see that they're doing good business. Everyone's like working so much at an edge that they feel up. Open a business for the first 3 years, we'll not make money. Everything will be whatever we earn can be spent, but you're spending on unnecessary things. It's not needed. Everyone focuses so much on that. No one focuses on customer experience and the product. Sometimes that is lost just to make something Instagrammable.
And do you think that's where your difference is in a way?
I think so.
At the end of the day, when you look at a bakery, right? Any business, whether we're actually existing for 10 years, well, employing 30 plus people, it's not a fluke anymore.
Yeah. I'll tell you our main thing that saved us. I'll be very honest. So when we opened, Jumeirah was the trend. Marina was the trend. 10 years back, 2010, you know all this, Media City, T-Com, Jumeirah was converting into a hep place, Al Wasl Road. So we still took a shop in Karama. We got a shop on the first interchange, opposite trade center. The rent was quite high, but I was like, no, it's so cool. It's Sheikh Zayed Road. You know, the perception would be so good. Like you opened on Sheikh Zayed Road. But the rent, so my husband, my partner being my partner, it's not worth it. We're not taking it. The per square foot does not justify our income. He's like, listen, there's no parking. It was a two floor. He's like, how will you take your cakes from ups to down? Please sensible. I'm like, no, please, I'll manage.
Yeah, yeah.
We spoke to the landlord, everything. Okay. We went in to give the check. They told us, we've got a higher offer. If you want to meet that, meet, or else we don't want to give you the spot.
Yeah.
I was like, what? But now, okay, so that's what Vishal told me. He's like, see, fancier places have more drama. Trust me, I've been in Dubai long enough to understand how difference does a good landlord make.
Yeah, agreed.
So we focused on getting a building, opening a shop where the landlord was flexible. And frankly, the rent in Karama is a lot more reasonable than a rent. Like it was literally 60% less than any Jumeirah.
It's just a lot, yeah.
So that time people have actually walked in and told me in my face, what area is this?
For a business that would eventually be focused on pickups and delivery, Vishal absolutely had the right idea. But when you start out as two sisters and a boyfriend, how do you ensure the best ideas don't get lost in a series of emotions? You'll find out all about that after this very short break. Stay with us. You're listening to Tales of the Trade from Amaya Media. Hey, this is Chirag, and since it's October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we have a message from Dr. Huria Kazem, one of the best-known breast cancer surgeons in the UAE.
You know, as women, we have to take care of ourselves because we do so much. We are the mothers, we are the wives, we are the daughters. And so we need to stick around. And it's not just about going on this witch hunt once a month and checking your breath. It's literally about knowing your body, what it looks like, what it feels like, where your moles are, where all your lumps and bumps are. And so the breath should be part of a whole body awareness.
Hi, I'm Courtney Brandt, and I'm happy to share that a new season of CSR of One, a podcast and social initiative, is live in your favorite podcast player. On each episode, we talk to individuals who are putting their weight behind philanthropic initiatives outside of their chosen careers. From responding to the demands of the community during COVID-19 to realizing a sustainable dream, our guests are truly inspiring. You can find the third season of CSR of One in your favorite podcast players, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and even streaming apps like Spotify and Anghami. And we'd love it if you gave us a review on Apple Podcasts or IMDb for the episode or episodes you enjoyed the most. We can't wait to share these inspirational conversations with you and hear your feedback.
Welcome back. I'm Chirag and you're listening to Tales of the Trade with Ravisha Bhatia, co-founder of Sugarholic. Back in 2010, when Sugarholic set up their first store, they had just 5 people on the payroll. 2 staff, 2 sisters, and a boyfriend.
Okay, so I'm like the midpoint here, right? I have a sister from home, and when I open a business, I have a husband. If This is very funny. So if he would have an issue, he would tell with her, he would tell me. And if she would have an issue with him, she would tell me. And I would be like pulling my hair because I don't want to upset him and I don't want to upset her.
But where would people go when they had an issue with you?
Oh, everyone would tell me on my face. Oh, because it's my sister and it's my boyfriend, right? At that time, like they can tell me anything. And oh, Ravisha is just like, she will adjust or she will manage or she will figure a way out or she'll fight back. So it's right. Actually, even till date, it's quite challenging sometimes because he has a certain viewpoint. She has a certain viewpoint. And sometimes you see they're very drastic. But then I put in this voting system. And I even got my mom in the picture because my mom is also a business partner. She's a silent business partner because, like I said, I prepare for everything. I even prepare that if Sneha and I don't exist, because Vishan and I don't exist, someone should be there.
Sure.
You know, I'm telling you, I'm crazy. I think it's probably my dad over the years. He knew what was hitting him because he was sick for 25 years. So he's always prepared us to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know? So in the end, it was a voting thing. So if anything was extreme, we would all sit in a room together, and that's probably happened 3-4 times. And we would vote. And if the vote is against one point, that's it. No further argument.
Well, I find it interesting that your solution to solve problems with family was to add more family into the mix. Like, it's good.
See, what would happen is because if I support Vishal, so she would obviously take out her frustration on mom saying that she's supporting her boyfriend.
Yeah.
If I would support Sneha, then that's me and him fighting.
Yeah.
And obviously my parents could see that because I was upset. So they said, whatever in the end, we both are going to decide because Ravisha can't spoil her personal relation with anyone.
Yeah, and shouldn't.
I was the main person doing the cakes, designing the cake. So even mentally, if something would affect me, I would not be in a mood and I can't delay orders. So I was very clear. I'm like, it would be a voting thing. But there are times I would speak to Sneha, look, this is the reason why I'm supporting him. I would speak to Vishal, don't interfere. This is the reason. So that's why we split our departments. She handled social media, marketing, WhatsApp. I was handling doing the cakes. He was handling the staff and everything.
Did you reach a point, let's say at any point during this journey, where you were like, I can't handle this kind of thing anymore with my family?
So I'll tell you what, okay. My sister's very emotional. For me, if I don't celebrate my husband's birthday or my parents' birthday or whatever once in a while, it's fine. Like, okay, not a big deal. But she gives in too much to family. She gives in too much to relatives. So when she got married, she put that before the business.
Sure.
And I made it very clear. I'm like, if right now you're working in a job, you wouldn't give your boss excuses. Okay. Same was with Vishal. I would reach work by 7 in the morning. Sneha would start her thing by 8, 9. He would reach work at 1, you know. And he's like, because I'm sitting till late. I'm like, but by 1, half the world is done. Orders are placed, you know.
Yeah.
So when these issues came, I told Sneha, if right now, forget having a business. So she's like, no, but that's the advantage of having a business. I was like, no, but you're taking me for granted. You can't do that. You have a sort of, I'm like, then fix your timings. That this to this time you're going to work. So before and that, I'm not going to trouble you. And obviously she was adjusting to a home and all. And then things got, it's obviously newly married, you know, with your in-laws. Yeah. So I told my parents, I told her, listen, whatever the hell is going on in everyone's life, I don't want to be affected. You have chosen that life. She has chosen that life. That is a completely different life you have to deal with. The business should not be affected, or else I take more money. Whoever's working less, like, well, let's start taking hourly basis. Whoever's working more, because that's what companies do, right? Like if a staff is working more, you give in more. And then Vishal's also, I was like, I don't care if you're awake till 12 1 in the night. I'm like, after 8, 9, anyways, business slows down. So you're not needed at that time. So you better come early. I'm not going to do anyone's back work. Yes, I will adjust with everyone, but everyone has to put equal number of hours or at least the amount of work. And these small arguments used to happen, but I guess everyone understood where we were coming from.
How long did it take to come to this kind of equilibrium?
No, it was since initial. You know, you experience in any business, I feel if you're with a family, you'll experience
things all this quicker.
Yeah. especially if you're the same age. See, unless, like, I know a lot of my friends and relatives are working with their parents.
Yeah, that's different. I agree.
So come what may, if the son or the daughter tells the dad that, no, I don't like this, we should move on. Either the parents will go like, start your own thing, or I've done this for 25 years, don't talk.
So when we look at COVID now, do you feel like you were better placed in a way to handle some of these things because you were working with family versus working with business partners, or the same, or you feel like there's no difference?
See, I've never worked with a business partner, so I'll be very honest. I don't know how it is, but I think working with family is better. You can at least like abuse and walk out of the room and...
And you know they won't leave you?
They will not leave me. They'll go like, okay, you know, let's do it. Or else they'll either do it behind my back, but I can even walk in after like 4 days and say like, okay, but it's done now. Big deal. Let's move on. But with a business partner, you can't do that. The frustration stays inside.
That's really interesting.
Like just now, I'll be very honest, before this podcast, I had an argument with Vishal regarding the camera, the staff camera.
Okay. In the store.
Yeah, yeah. So it's placed at a certain angle, which I don't like it since many years. Since many years. I don't approve of it. But just that it's his area,
right?
I have not interfered. But there's something I want to check in the camera and I'm going on it and I cannot see the person's face or ear clearly.
Yeah.
That particular angle. So I told him, okay, why can't we have three cameras? Why? So he's like, the shop doesn't permit. So my logic comes in. When there are big jewelers and, you know, Cartiers and whatever, if they can have five cameras, why can't we have? So justification ends. What you're not selling jewelry, you know, just let's end it here. Either it ends up in a, like, I can go full on and fight, or I just let it go because of the one incident. But so these are small things which you're never going to agree on.
Typically, when you hear or when you talk to people that are working a lot with family and stuff, they have the exact opposite reaction, because they say that, you know, at the end of the day, because there's family, because there are other emotions involved, I cannot abuse. I cannot just say this and walk off.
Yeah, like, see, Sneha and Vishal can't abuse at each other that much. They'll probably abuse at the back. But if you're talking from my point of view, I literally abuse. And there have been days that they have joined together and like thrown me against a wall. Like, Ravisha, shut up. You are not talking sense. So I think over the years, it's chill. They know how each of them are.
You guys have been working together for a while now. It's not, again, you're not a young business in the traditional
sense. See, I'll tell you, in business, if you want to continue, you have to accept the person how they are.
Now, over the course of Sugarholic's history, there have been numerous milestones, from projects with the Roads and Transport Authority in Dubai to earning the Guinness World Record for the tallest cupcake tower. That was 8,000 cupcakes. And for Ravisha, these moments are just as memorable as the little things.
Yeah, like when we do these bigger projects, I'm like when we did the Guinness, this thing, I felt good. I'm like, oh God, like we pulled off something like this. But there's still a lot of opportunities that we can look into. But more than that, I feel when we chat with clients and they come with, today I was chatting with a client, she wanted to place an order and I was like, sure, please send me your details. Then in the end, she's like, I've been ordering with you guys for 4 years now, and I haven't been anywhere else. Moments like these where people appreciate my recipes is what I like, and I find it as a defining moment. These big projects and all don't excite me, they scare me. Another thing I like is giving work. Right now, currently, we are 34 staff. I like the fact I'm supporting 34 families. Bus. These two things, I'm very happy. I don't want anything else. Let the business run. Let everyone's lifestyle be good.
And sometimes there have been moments of recognition in unexpected places.
When I went to Surat to visit a friend, you know, LSD, right? Love Sugar Dough. So they took me to Love Sugar Dough. They're like, listen, why don't you open here? This Love Sugar Dough does design really well. Cakes. Mm. And they're very good. So I'm like, okay, let's go inside. And two girls were running it. And on their iPad was our Facebook page, Sugarholics, showing people design cakes. So they order via them. And that time my friends were like, hey, what is this? Tell them copyright. And I was like, one sec. I'm like, dude, you're not telling them anything. I am so happy that because of me, two girls are being able to make a living and they're making other people happy.
But you had to tell them who you were, no?
No, so I'll tell you the funny thing. I was like, okay, I'll walk up, I'll order something. Okay, I just don't want to. And then I will, once she's done with the customers, I'll go like, hey, Ravisha from Sugarholic. I went to order and that female leaves the customer. She comes. She's like, "You're Ravisha from Dubai, right?"
She recognized you, actually.
And yes. I was like so embarrassed. And I was like, "Someone please pull me out of the shop." I'm like, "I'm very happy. I'm so happy." They're like, "Listen, you girls have inspired us. And we saw the way. So we two friends have got together. We see your designs. We do everything. And it's really made a difference." I went to Surat in some corner to meet my friends. And there someone recognized me. So that was another thing. I was like, okay. Yeah, but it was very embarrassing. I get very embarrassed when anyone recognizes me.
That's amazing.
You tell me, lock me in a kitchen, say nothing, buzz business, I'll manage. You asked me to be in the forefront. Like even this, I told you yesterday, for me is a big thing.
This episode of Tales of the Trade was hosted by me, Chirag Desai, with production support from Zainab Jaini and Abhishek Venkatasubramanian. Now, we'd love to hear from you and what you thought of this episode and our current season. You can connect with us on Instagram at talesofthe.trade. And we'd love it if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts, IMDb, or Podchaser. Links for all of these are in the show notes. Tales of the Trade is part of the Amaya Media Podcast Network. You can find out more at amaya.media. We'll see you in 2 weeks.